Welcome to this special report for survivalnutrition.com. This is about food microcaching, or how to hide your food in your own home or outside your home. Now, if you haven't already, be sure to download the full free audiobook of Survival Nutrition. It's found at survivalnutrition.com. And I'm Mike Adams, the author. And now let's start with a question. Why would you need to hide your food in your own home? A lot of people don't know it, but in 2012, President Obama signed the National Defense Authorization Act and other executive orders that, in combination, allow FEMA to confiscate all the food in your home under a national emergency. These rules apply to farms, but also individual households, and they allow the federal government to seize seeds, cattle, diesel fuel, tractor equipment, but also groceries and food, including stored food. And you know, there are a lot of people in society today who believe that those who store food are bad people. They call them hoarders. Oh, you hoarded food. Even though all you really did was you just bought a little bit of extra food every time you went to the grocery store over time, in a free market kind of way. You didn't steal it. You paid for it, fair and square. You didn't hoard it. Other people could buy food too. You didn't empty the shelves. You just accumulated a little bit more food over time, and you stored it in a way that you ended up with a large stockpile of extra food, which is a smart thing to do. The federal government does it. The federal government has caves full of stored food and ammunition and medical supplies and so on. So having backup supplies is a very wise thing, but there's an element of society that says it's bad. So when things hit the fan, those people will tend to say that you're bad for having extra food. You're a hoarder. And after they say that, that's when they'll want to come and take it for themselves. So you see, this is how they justify it. They're not thieves. No, you're a hoarder, and they're just liberating the stuff that you hoarded. They're just distributing the food fairly, they'll say. Oh, it's fair to have food distribution, just like they currently claim it's fair to have wealth redistribution. You know, tax the producers of society, take their money and hand it out to people who don't produce. These are the same people who will come for your food. So you'll need to be able to hide your food so that you don't appear to be a, quote, hoarder, especially when all you've done is just taken some common sense measures to have a backup supply in anticipation of supply line disruptions, which are already happening. So how do you hide your food? To start with, don't just try to hide it in an extra room in your house. That's going to be easily discovered. If you have the food under the bed in the guest bedroom, for example, that's not a very good effective hiding place. It's going to be found very easily. And yes, FEMA can enter your home without a warrant looking for extra food merely because one of your neighbors called FEMA and said they observed you having extra food. Which reminds me, by the way, don't get large shipments of obvious stored food products to your home. You know, do a little bit over time, but don't have UPS show up with 57 cases of, you know, dried green beans or whatever, where your neighbors can see that and the UPS guy is going, oh my goodness, look at all this food, and you're making a big scene. Do a little bit each day over time to build it up slowly so you don't raise eyebrows. And also, don't store food in your attic. You might think it's a good hiding place, but it isn't because, well, it gets hot and cold and hot and cold, and this destroys the shelf life of food. In fact, it's those temperature cycles that actually destroy food more than just sitting at a higher temperature for a long, sustained period of time. It's much better to have a stable temperature, and you want to keep food cool. If you want to have a long shelf life, some people are buying food that they think has a 20-year shelf life, because that's what the advertisers and marketers promote, which is false usually. And they're going to be shocked to discover that it's nowhere near that because they didn't refrigerate it. So you need to keep it in a dry, cool, dark place, typically. You know, a dry basement is often a good idea. But for hiding it, you need to start thinking about, well, in your house, how is your house constructed? Where do you have empty spaces in your house? And we can start with the walls. The walls, usually you've got sheetrock over, you know, 2x4s on maybe 16-inch centers, which means you've got maybe a 14-inch gap that is, what, 3.5 inches deep or so with maybe insulation in it, or maybe not. You've got drywall over that. What you can do is, and I know this sounds maybe like a lot of work, but drywall is not that difficult. You can actually take out a big section of drywall and you can pack long-term storable foods inside that wall. And then you can patch it back up with a drywall patch or repair kit, which you can get at Home Depot, to where it looks just like brand new. No one can tell. And unless someone's going to go around your entire house tearing down all the drywall, which normally they don't do, they're not going to find your stored foods. Now, of course, you'd want to have very high density stored foods in the walls, and you don't want anything that mice can get into, because they will find it and they will eat it, and you'll just be basically building a mouse nest, which will smell like urine and mouse poo in no time. And that's not a good thing to have in your walls for all the obvious reasons. So you want to have things that are very durable and completely rodent proof. For example, coconut oil inside a glass jar or a metal jar of some kind. Now, mice can eat through thin plastic, no problem. I've even seen mice eat through those plastic lids that are typically used on number 10 cans. They'll eat right through those. Now, mice typically won't eat through a plastic pail, like a 5-gallon bucket. That's something they normally can't get through. But then again, you can't fit a 5-gallon bucket in your walls. So you'll need to find containers that will fit in your walls, containers that are mouse-proof and ant-proof and everything else. And you want to store things that have a long, long shelf life without requiring refrigeration. What are those things? Well, it turns out those are things like whole grains, such as whole wheat berries, which are dried and vacuum-packed and then protected in some kind of a container that's mouse-proof. And by the way, this advice goes for food that you're storing anywhere that you're storing it. Whole grain oats, quinoa, whole grain rice, and so on. Take the full grains, kamut, barley, whatever you're storing, or red lentils, green lentils, kidney beans, black beans. All these things have a very long shelf life, even if they're not refrigerated. And if your house is air conditioned, that's probably good enough. So you can store those all over your house in packs. And don't forget salt. Salt, a little bit goes a long way, so it doesn't take up much storage space. And salt stores basically forever as long as you keep it dry. Salt attracts water. And if you put salt in the walls without proper packaging, it'll just suck water into itself, and then it'll drip down salty water below wherever you have it, which will create problems like wood rot in your walls or wherever you have it. So be careful about storing salt. Special precautions for that. Now, in addition to your walls, you may also be able to store things in appliances, such as the inside of the door of your refrigerator, or perhaps your oven, or maybe a secret compartment underneath your kitchen sink, for example. Or if you take the panel off your washing machine or dryer or something like that, you'll find a lot of empty spaces. And it turns out that people who are drug dealers or drug traffickers, they know all about hiding things. So if you have friends who are drug traffickers, you might check with them and find out where they hide stuff. But tell them it's for food. They may not believe you. They may ask if you're wearing a wire, but they actually know these things. Of course, they're very good at hiding things in cars, you know, drug smugglers and so on. But if you look, I mean, you can see videos online, by the way, of where to hide things in your own house. I think a lot of those videos are for people who traffic drugs, by the way. But you don't have to use it for that purpose. You could be hiding freeze-dried coffee or whatever's valuable to you. So just use it for your purposes. But you'll find that people who hide things in cars, for example, they're just hiding drugs inside the seats or inside the panels of the doors, places like that. Just think about the geometry of your house. You might even be able to put a false floor in the bottom of a desk drawer, for example. I've seen people hide food and other things inside tower computers, like a computer on your desk. You know how it's got a, you know, computer cover, you open it up, you can look inside, and you got your RAM chips and your CPU and everything. Sometimes people could put things in there. Now it's going to interfere with the cooling flow of the air moving through that chassis. It might cause problems. But maybe you have a computer that you're not using, just sitting there. You can open it up and you could stuff a bunch of food in there and hide it from authorities who are trying to take it from you. Government theft. Some of the best places to hide things are in the floor. If you've got floorboards and you can put something under the floorboards, that can be very effective. Some people go so far as to have like a secret concrete storage place under the floor. Now, you've seen this probably in movies as well. You have to open it up with a sledgehammer. You have to break the concrete, you know, to get your stuff out. Well, that's a lot of work, but guess what? It's highly secure. Nobody is going to go around your house, much less FEMA. They're not going to go sledgehammering your entire house just to see if you've got some extra, you know, peanut butter stored away, whatever you have there. You might want to store some gold bars, guns, and ammo while you're at it. Don't make it just peanut butter. If you've got a security storage place that's that high security, you might as well use it for all it's worth. But think about the geometry of your house and think about all the empty spaces in the furniture, in the walls, in the appliances, in your mattress. I know it's almost a cliche. People say, oh, you're hiding cash in your mattress. You know why that's a cliche? Because people did that. They put money in their mattress. Why did they do that? Because that was the safest place they could think of. It was out of sight, but they were sleeping on it. You couldn't be robbed at night without waking up. They put it in the mattress. There's a lot of Mormons that store food under the bed. That's not really well hidden, of course, but it is making use of storage space. Now let's talk about outside food storage, because this is where your possibilities really open up. If you want to store food outside, it's got to be underground. And immediately this brings up issues of moisture. Whereas rodents are your problem when you're storing food in your house, moisture is usually the problem outside. Whatever you store it in, it's going to get rained on at some point. The ground is going to be inundated with water. And if you don't have a watertight container, and I mean really, really watertight, that can also be buried and withstand the sidewall pressures of soil, then whatever you bury, you're going to lose. Now, there are people who buy PVC tubes, like a 6-inch PVC, and they'll stuff it full of whatever, sometimes guns, you know, ammunition, maybe some food, maybe some first aid supplies. Is like a little survival cache, right? And then they'll glue on a lid and it'll just be sealed up with PVC glue. That's the low budget way to do it. It works fine. You can bury that sucker. Problem is, you got to break it to open it back up. So if you want to add to it later on, there's no good way to do that. I have purchased in the past some kind of storage pods that were supposed to be underground pods with a gasket and a screw-on lid that looked really rugged. And when I went back a year later, water was inside. They failed. So the downside with something that's got a screw-on lid is that a lot of times those lids really aren't watertight. They don't live up to the promises of the manufacturers. And you end up with water in your stored food. Or in my case, I was storing ammunition in that container. It was a test, trying to see if those things are any good, and I found out they're not. Now, when you get into real redneck country, what rednecks like to do, and I'm not even joking, is you take an old refrigerator, you bury it, you fill it full of food, guns, and ammo, and then, you know, you close the door and seal it up and bury it. The refrigerator is actually not a bad container for that, but I think there's something better. It's the polyethylene drums that are watertight. And what I found that you can do is you can buy these sort of large ammo can looking type things, but they actually have contained mortar shells. And they stand about, seems like maybe 28 inches tall, maybe 30 inches tall. They just look like a really tall ammo can. And these seal up really well. They've got durable rubber gaskets. I mean, they're made for the military, and they were storing, you know, artillery shells. You take these and you can put your food, guns, ammo, gold, whatever you want in there. And then you take those, because they are subject to rust, by the way. You take two or three of those and you put them inside a 55-gallon polyethylene drum. The drum then has a lid that gets sealed on with a big metal clamp. You clamp that lid on. Now you've got a 55-gallon drum, and inside the drum, you've got the former artillery shell ammo can things, which are watertight and airtight, filled with your stuff. And you can take those barrels, those drums, and you can either bury those, or you can put them somewhere where people won't find them. Or you can half bury them. I've seen people do that too. You can bury it halfway, half of it sticking up out of the ground, and then you throw, I don't know, camo netting or something on top of that out in a forest somewhere. Most people won't find it, and it won't be crushed by the weight of the soil, and no one's likely to step on it because it's sticking partway out of the ground. And you can also find it when you want to, in case you forgot where you buried everything. So there are a lot of different approaches to this. All of these are valuable approaches, something to think about. But should you do this? Should you bury food? It's not a bad idea to think about this. But if you bury food, you should bury it with some, like a water filter. Bury it with a little camp stove. Bury it with utensils. Bury it with a set of pots and pans for camping, for example. So that you can do more than just have, you know, raw wheat berries. You need to be able to cook something. You need to be able to serve up a meal from this. And that's how you get that done. And my final piece of advice in all of this is to have a cache of expired food that you're willing to give up to the authorities. So this is a good reason to keep expired food around in case they come to your house wanting to seize food. It's always good to be able to give them something to make them go away. And I've had the same advice when it comes to firearms confiscation. It's good to have an old broken shotgun that doesn't work or something to say, yeah, I'm complying. Here's my shotgun. They're not going to check everything out and make sure it works. You could probably hand them an AR-15 without a bolt in it. You know, they wouldn't know. So just give them a bunch of expired food so they can claim to their commander to have achieved success. Yes, we've confiscated food. Look at what we got. Oh, all these boxes of crackers. They're not going to look at the date that they expired in 2007. They're not that bright. I mean, they're the food confiscation team people working for FEMA. They're probably going to get shot by somebody, and not too bright. You don't have to really outsmart them that much. So have a supply of expired garbage crap to give away. The bulkier it looks, the better. Just take up all the space in their vehicle, you know. Here, have these, you know, 12 cases of corn puffs or whatever, you know, worthless. But that's my advice, and that's a valid strategy for dealing with food confiscation. Thank you for listening. This is Mike Adams. Be sure to download the entire audiobook of Survival Nutrition. You can get it at survivalnutrition.com.